The big question, who can fix the faltering economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Consumer spending and incomes in this country didn't go anywhere in June. Analysts had expected a small gain, but the Commerce Department today said personal savings are at their highest level in a year. Now, that doesn't bode well for an American economy that relies on consumers to keep the engine going. And that leads us to today's big question. Is it possible for the Federal Reserve to jumpstart a stalled recovery? A new report says the Fed's looking at a few options to get the economy back on track. One idea that's gained some speed is pouring more money into new mortgage bonds as old ones the Fed had bought begin to mature. Reporter John Hilzenrath wrote the article for this morning's Wall Street Journal. He's with us live from New York. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So the Fed initially said it was going to let the money it had invested in these mortgage bonds shrink, the amount of money, right? Why the change of heart?
Well, so, you know, they spent a lot of the beginning of this year talking about their exit strategy. It looked like their recovery was on track. We had a couple of months of pretty strong job growth in March and April. And, you know, so they were looking at pulling back the reins on the economy. The last couple of months, some of the data has looked pretty soft. The job market never really got traction. Consumer confidence is down. Consumer spending has softened a bit. So they're trying to – they're moving from an exit mode to try to think through what their reentry mode would be like. The first step – would be not shrinking their balance sheet. So they were going to let these mortgage bonds roll off. Now they're thinking, all right, you know what, maybe we should just keep reinvesting what we've got to keep the money that we have in the economy still there, trying to do the work that it does.
Keep the investment going. So what else? What else is on the table, John?
Well, so, I mean, this move of reinvesting mortgage bond proceeds is pretty small in terms of the economic impact, but symbolically it would be important because it would signal the Fed's concern about the economy. There's a few other things they could do. They could use their language, the bully pulpit, so to speak, to explain to investors and the public that interest rates, which are already near zero, are going to stay there for a really long time. The hope would be that that would encourage more risk-taking by business, by households, with the understanding that interest rates are going to stay low for a while.
Hey, John, how exactly, and real quick, how exactly do any of these plans help the economy? I mean, pumping more money into bonds or treasuries, what does that mean to the guy who doesn't have a job?
Well, you know, you're asking the question that Ben Bernanke is asking right now. And, you know, the problem is, everything that they're doing is unconventional at this point, so they're not sure how it helps the economy. You know, they have their theories about how it does. The idea is it helps to keep interest rates low, which, you know, which provokes more borrowing, you know, more investment by business, which could create jobs. But these are very unconventional tools, and they're very uncertain about how well they'll work.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up there, John. We're out of time. But thank you so much. We appreciate it. Reporter John Hilzenrath, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for the time. Let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are mostly lower at the moment, about 0.5% or so, retreating from big gains yesterday. Asian markets mostly rose today. And they followed the lead of Wall Street. Yesterday, stocks were bolstered by a positive manufacturing report. The S&P and NASDAQ added an average of 2%. Same for the Dow, 208 points to close at 10,674.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
They're not necessarily companions for better nutrition, but tequila and cheese can teach us a lot about boosting economies in the developing world. A recent study compared the economic benefits of the two on the international market. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
Some things can only be produced in very specific regions.
Certain products are inextricably linked to their geographical locations. It started in France at the beginning of the 20th century when they started protecting wines.
That's Sarah Bowen, assistant professor at North Carolina State University. Bowen studied two products defined by geography, both successful on the market, but with different outcomes for farmers. Comté cheese from France, and tequila from Mexico.
Comté has been very successful in terms of stimulating rural development, contributing to jobs in the area, contributing to higher prices for the farm products.
The French farmers regulate all aspects of their industry, exactly what raw materials can be used, what cows can eat, how the cheese is made and exported. But in Mexico, agave farmers who produce the raw materials for tequila don't have the same protections.
Tequila is becoming more and more industrialized, and the smaller tequila companies and the agave farmers are getting pushed out of the supply chain.
A rose-petaled margarita, please.
Okay. With salt.
This Philadelphia restaurant called Tequila's serves 125 different kinds of the liquor. But owner David Sura won't serve any blended tequilas.
I don't think that we should call that spirit tequila.
He says blended tequilas are made by multinational companies that use less agave sugars in favor of cheaper ones. That means less money for agave farmers. Suro says Mexico can't control the standards for tequila because so much is produced outside the country.
There is absolutely no way to monitor all the bottling companies outside of Mexico.
Sarah Bowen says governments need to regulate how and where products like tequila are produced in order to protect small farmers.
It's really important for the government to sort of conceive of these regulations not just as trade protection, but as a rural development policy.
Mexican agave farmers need some help. Bowen says the market price for agave is below the cost of production, so farmers are letting their crops rot. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, Bill Cosby is not really dead. His demise was advertised all over the internet yesterday, one of the most searched items on Twitter and Google. A lot of other celebrities have died on the internet in the past few years. Natalie Portman, teen idol Justin Bieber, singer Britney Spears. But yesterday, Cosby rebutted those claims, and in true internet guerrilla marketing, he tweeted he's alive and well, and he has a new iPhone app available for download. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.